This is part two of the Mormon Expression Christmas podcast. And just one thing I forgot to say when we were talking the other night. I've got a Angel Moroni Christmas ornament for the top of the Christmas tree. How did I forget to mention that? It's Angel Moroni. My wife wouldn't let me use it, but, you know, we've got it. So here's part two. Enjoy. My number three is Carol of the Bells by The Bird and the Bee. And The Bird and the Bee is just, I think they're my favorite group right now anyway, just because Inara George, I think, is an amazing singer. And Greg Kurst, I think he's pretty brilliant musically, producer. I mean, it's poppy, but I really like The Bird and the Bee, everything that they do. And they did a Christmas song, so I kind of have to put them in here with it. I think it's been commercialized a little bit. It sounds like an Old Navy commercial when I listen to it, so I kind of have a little bit of hesitation putting in there. It's Carol of the Bells. But they make some interesting...
Excuse me.
Because there is, you know, the traditional Carol of the Bells. Is that...
It is. It's a take on Carol of the Bells. But they but they make some... I think they make some innovative changes.
Sweet silver bells all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the poor. Oh, how they found, raising their sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Would you like an apple pie with that?
Oh, okay.
You remember that commercial? Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. Burger King or something.
Oh.
Do you see?
Ding, fries are done.
I mean, why I hate Christmas?
Yeah.
It starts at Halloween, the day after freaking Halloween. It starts and it goes and it goes into your brain. And I'm pretty sure I have tumors now.
Well, that's why when you're saying in Norway, they celebrate it longer, like at the beginning of December. That's what I thought. I'm like, we start after Halloween.
But yeah. It's not as commercialized there, right?
Maybe I just don't notice it.
No, but I do love this Bird and the Bee version, too.
It's
you sent
pretty.
Me the MP3, yeah, and I've been listening to it a lot. But I also plug for Inara. I like them.
Yeah, Inara George is, you know, if there's one, like, little pot of gold at the end of the DNC 132 rainbow for me, maybe it's another George. I don't know. Okay, so we're at number two now for Zilpha Larson.
That one would be A Baby Just Like You by John Denver. And we actually have this song on two of our Christmas CDs. One is John Denver... is it called Aspen Grove? His Christmas CD. And then there's another one of him with the Muppets, Christmas Muppets.
The season is upon us now, the time for gifts and giving. As the year draws to its close, I think about my living. Christmas time when I was young, the magic and the wonder.
The reason I like A Baby Just Like You, I don't know if you guys have even heard this one, but did he have a son named Zachary? Because this song is written to a little boy named Zachary, a baby, and I'm assuming that it was his son, and he kind of... when the baby is born, he feels like new life, and he relates it to, you know, the Christ child being born.
When I was young, Merry Christmas, little Zachary. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, little Zachary. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And for me, part of Christmas, the part that I've always kind of treasured and I've always liked nativity scenes, is because there's a baby and it is celebrating new birth and new life. And I think that's an important part of why everybody's kind of sentimental about Christmas.
I like that comment too that you had on the. You mentioned that on the blog. I thought that was really insightful. And I've always liked that with the nativity, and you've got all of the characters there with the shepherd, the three wise men, and stuff.
However you want.
What's that?
Oh, I said you can kind of fiddle with them and set them up however you think the story is going.
The nativity.
The little characters, yeah,
right.
Little.
Right.
Figures.
Yeah. And that's one of the, I guess, one of the, you asked if we had any, like, Mormon tradition. I guess this isn't really a Mormon tradition, but one of the things that we've tried to do as, you know, we lived in Japan for a while, we got these Kokeshi dolls that are, you know, traditional Japanese wooden dolls that are nativity dolls. And then we have some friends who spent some time in Africa, and they got these traditional African dolls that are nativity dolls, and we have them set out, and so we kind of pretend that we're globally aware, I guess, a little bit.
Or multicultural.
Multicultural. You know.
You can blame that if you've lived in another country.
Yeah, but we're still pretty... I don't know. Not as much as we probably ought to be. But anyway, one of the things I had a question. Have you guys heard that one of the three wise men was Nephi from 3rd Nephi?
Oh, yes. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Yes, because he went like wandering and he was missing for a long time, and it was around that time. And so the speculation is that he had enough time to get over to so that he could see the little Jesus. Why wouldn't he? If he knew that Christ was being born and he thought
how
he could get there.
How do they propose he got there?
He could have gone over the Bering Strait.
With God, anything is possible.
He could have made a little Jaredite boat.
Do you remember where you heard that, Zilpha?
In church.
Was it actually in church, or was it just like, in a lesson?
It wasn't like taught in a lesson, but I think we discussed it. Maybe it wasn't in church. Maybe it was during seminary when we were reading those chapters. Yeah, that's what it was. Yes.
Does like the worst doctrine of the whole church come out of seminary?
Probably.
I don't know. I heard it from another missionary when I was on my mission, and that was around the time that I heard, you know, like Bigfoot and Cain and things like that.
He went missing, didn't he? He never showed up again.
Yeah, well, because the story in the Book of Mormon is that he just leaves. You know, he's just gone. And I don't remember which Nephi he is, but he's like one of the Nephis that's right before Jesus is born.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had a missionary companion or somebody say, you know, he was probably one of the three wise men who came from afar. And, you know, and other people would say he was a translated being, you know, like John the Beloved or the three Nephites, you know. I think there's some kind of suggestion that maybe he was, but yeah.
Stick around.
Yeah, so that's part of that's fun... Mormon folklore around Christmas that I don't know if others have heard that.
I wish I heard that. I'd never heard that.
Kind of a fun theory.
I always wondered if they were pissed on this side of the
Yeah, it's like, okay, so he's born and he's over there and we're stuck over here. Great.
Yeah, plus they got all the rumblings and tumblings at the end.
But they could probably still see the star.
Could they?
Yeah.
Was that even mentioned in the Book of Mormon?
Yeah, it is.
The new star? Yeah. I know the the night was like day. Is that the only thing that they had as a sign?
The day and the night and the day that is like there's one. Like the sun goes down, but there's no darkness.
Yeah. I wonder why. I mean, if Joseph Smith created the book, why did he say that instead of just saying the star?
Yeah.
Because he didn't write that part.
He didn't write that part. Good Who point. Did?
That is impressive.
It seems like if he was making it up, he would have just stuck to the traditional story, huh?
Yeah, it's so kind of a weird thing.
Maybe he did make it up.
If he gets it right, man, it's proof that he knows what he's doing. If he gets it wrong, it's proof that he knows what he's doing.
Time to come back.
Yeah, either way. Nathan's looking up to see if the star is in the Book of Mormon. Do you know? John doesn't even know.
Wow. Stump John.
Wait, yes. Nathan. Read it.
Yeah,
I think it is.
3 Nephi 1:21, and it came to pass also that a new star did appear according to the word.
Awesome.
So how did the new star appear when the night was as day?
It appeared during the night.
It was the reason it was...
It was the reason why it was so bright.
I've heard explanations of what the star was and why it turned a day.
Go.
It was a meteor burning up through the atmosphere, but I never know why it would take 3 days to get through the atmosphere.
Well, it didn't take three days, did it?
Well, nights, right? Light for 3 nights?
No, it was dark for 3 nights when Jesus died, but it was light for 1 night when he was born.
Okay. This is why I ostracized.
Were you guys ever told that you were the angels that appeared to the shepherds?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And actually, you know, I mentioned the Forgotten Carols. That is one of the songs that Handel, you know, of Handel's Messiah, that he, like, wrote the music that the angels were singing to the shepherds and that we were all there singing.
Yeah, that was one thing that always confused me when I was a kid, and I would come in, interact with non-Mormons in their Christmas traditions, because it was so ingrained in me that I had been one of the angels that had appeared to the shepherds when I was a little kid, that it seemed strange to me that other people didn't know that, and that they would look at me in strange ways when I would...
So wait, you're telling that?
Yeah, oh sure, why not? I thought it was really strange that they didn't know that.
Did you ever go back to them and say, like, what the hell?
No, I've got a few names and addresses I'm still looking for. No. No, I haven't gone back to set the record straight.
That's a new one on me.
You missed out on a lot.
Gosh, let's see. What there was there?
You did have the candy throwing elf though, so I think it balances out.
That makes sense.
And the Forgotten Carols. I mean, hey.
Yeah, he knew about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who are we on?
We're on Nile number 2.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Number 2 is a sort of a fun one. It's a song that was written and performed by probably the most well-known folk singer of Norway in the 20th century, and by the name of Alf Prøysen. And it's a story about how the mouse family celebrates Christmas. And it's called Musevisa, which just means the mouse song. And you often get this the music for this like programmed into toys and cards and things like that. And sometimes you'll see decorations. You know, Norwegian decorations are much different for Christmas. It's hearts usually. Like, so everything looks like Valentine's Day. So it's hearts and mice. You see a lot of mice.
From this song, do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's from this song. I've never heard any other stories about it, and no one ever took the time to explain the song to me. So I looked up the lyrics, and it's actually quite interesting.
Når nettene blir lange og kulla setter inn, så sier vesle musemor til ungeflokken sin. Hvis ingen går i fella, men passer seg for den, skal alle sammen snart få feire jul igjen. Heisan og hoppsan og faller aller av, om julekvelden da skal alle sammen være.
I think it should kind of summarize the mouse family story.
Well, it goes through each member of the mouse family. So this is what mom's doing, the mama mouse, mormus. This is what Fata Moose is doing. This is what Papa Moose is doing. This is what
Moose.
Papa. This is what Grandpa and Grandma Moose is doing. This, you know, and Grandma Moose is rocking in a little potato instead of a rocking chair. It's kind of cute.
Sounds fun.
All right, Melissa, what's your number two?
My number two is the Christmas song. It's also probably one that's just been overplayed, but I still just really like it.
Yeah.
I just think it's a nice, cozy Christmas traditional song. But the thing that was interesting is that I had a really hard time finding a version that I wanted to claim for this podcast. And along with that, I've actually fallen in love with a whole CD called Winter Songs. It's Hotel Cafe. And it's just a bunch of mostly women singing. It's like Sarah Bareilles. And that's where this came from. So I wanted to plug the whole CD because I could have taken all five of my favorites from that CD. Excuse me. But this particular version is sung by Catherine Feeney, which I don't really know who she is, but it's beautiful. It's more, it's just her and a guitar. And I really liked it a lot. If I could play the guitar, it's the kind of way I'd like to sing it.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think any of us have, like, the traditional Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby, Andy Williams, who's the Johnny Mathis, you know, but... Like, those guys really epitomize Christmas music to me, and I do. Like, whenever I put on my Christmas music collection, those guys are always right up at the top. But
yeah.
For some reason, they don't make it into my top five at all. But I think that the Christmas song, I love that Nat King Cole version. I do love mm-hmm. the Andy Williams version of this. But I think I have heard this Catherine Feeney one. It is really nice.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of something a little more obscure, that, you know, not ones that everybody would have always heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, this song was great in the whole CD. It's kind of like a little quirky, Christmassy CD. I don't know. I like it.
I love that song.
Yeah. I worked with a woman years ago who, she hated the Christmas song with a passion. And I never understood why she hated it so much. Because she was such a nice, kind, cheerful person. and she just hated it. I don't get it. I don't know.
I don't know, have you ever had chestnuts roasted on an open fire?
That's just between me and my bishop.
Well, I think we roasted some in the oven a few years ago, and they're kind of interesting. It's not something that I would necessarily sing about. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Yum, yum.
Yeah, you know, in Japan, actually, roasted chestnuts... You can get them on street corners. You know, they'll have vendors that have a little bag of roasted chestnuts, even in Tokyo. Yeah,
or all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, pretty much any time of the year, and we could go into a supermarket.
They have all kinds of wonderful vendors on the corners of Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah. So I have had the roasted chestnuts, but yeah, they're good. They're nice. Mm. My number two is Oh, He Is Christmas by Take Six. And this was the reason I put this one on there. When I was a missionary, I broke mission rules and went out and bought a CD for Christmas because I just had to have some Christmas music. And this was one that I got. And I don't remember if another missionary recommended it to me or if I just took a chance on it. But... I'm almost embarrassed to tell this story because I don't know, I just feel so shallow in it. But I had this epiphany and appreciation that other people, even even black people who weren't members of the church could have a love for Jesus. Yeah. You know, but I was 19. I was a 19-year-old Mormon missionary, and I was listening to this and going, you know, this is stupid that this is against the rules, because these guys really love Jesus. And it was like this kind of lights on moment for me I don't know. So I still, when I listen to this now, I think about that moment for me, and I still really like the entire CD, but I like the way that that they sing about Christ really is the center of Christmas to them, and everything that they talk about. I know it's different than John's blog, but I found a lot of comfort, I guess, in that message, and it meant a lot to me at that time. So,
I don't know if I know it. Do you guys know it?
Nope.
I do, but we're related, so.
Yeah, you know it from me. And it's one of their originals. You know the group Take Six? They're a cappella Christian gospel.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Brian McKnight's brother or something like that.
I get the feeling we're running in much different circles.
Yeah.
Well, we've never been to Norway, so we don't know all the cool mice ones.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. All right. So now we're on the championship round. So what is your number one, or was your number one a few days ago, Zelpha?
It's still my number one.
Okay.
It is Where Are You Christmas? And it was on The Grinch with Jim Carrey. This song was also sung by, Sarah McLachlan? Is that?
I think Faith Hill did it.
Oh, Faith Hill. Yeah. But I really, really like the version that Cindy Lou Who does, the little actress on the movie. It's just, I don't know, it just seems to mean more coming from her. She seems more sincere about it. And the point of the song is that as you grow up, and especially if, say you believed in Santa Claus when you were younger, Christmas changes as you grow older. It takes on new meanings. And so in this song, she's wondering what happened to the Christmas that I used to know. Cause I don't recognize this Christmas anymore, and I've changed, and I guess Christmas has changed too. So I can kind of, relate.
That's a very sweet song. I like that, with that other meaning with it there. Yeah.
All right, Niall. What's your number one?
My number one's another song off of the Yule calendar with the Nisa. And this one there, it's called Long Time Ago in Bethlehem. And I'm pretty sure this isn't their song, although I'd never heard it before.
I think I've heard it.
Yeah, I think.
Can you sing
probably,
it?
Long time ago in Bethlehem,
oh, yeah.
So the Holy Bible say.
That one.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, well, it was the first time I heard it. And the I guess it's Caribbean or something. They did it in Caribbean style. I like how they rendered it. I really like the tune. I really like the lyrics. That it's sort of a triumphal
version. Hark, now hear the angels sing.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary bore child Jesus Christ, he born on Christmas Day.
Listen, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, they see a bright new shining star. And then they hear a choir sing, the music seems to come from afar.
The best part is in the show. They're playing the instruments of the song, and the instruments don't match up. So one of the characters is playing the maracas, what do you call those? Little shaky maracas. Things. But the song has a drum or something in place of it. So it doesn't line up. But that song's just a cool song.
Yeah.
All right, Melissa, what's your number one all-time favorite?
Well, again, this is another tough choice for me, especially because you didn't help me out on this. I thought for sure you'd pick one of the songs. But our family, growing up, we would watch a version of the, you know, Christmas Carol called Scrooge, and it was a musical version starring Albert Finney, and I love it. Although, as much as I would love to rave about it, we did try to share it with some of our another couple friend, like when we were first married, and they just found it torturous. So it might be one of those things that it's cherished because you've grown up with it and it has warm fuzzies. But I've shared it with a few other friends who are maybe a little more cultured, and they've really liked it too. So
let's hope that the first friends aren't listening to this.
Oh, they won't be. They won't be. We still love them. But anyway, so all of the music is just phenomenal. And I had a kind of a hard time choosing. There was one that was December the 25th and it's just really happy. And I kind of wanted that one, or there was one that you thought anyway. So I chose Father Christmas because it's happy and it's funny. And it's these four kind of funny looking British little boys. And they're singing about Scrooge. They're teasing him, saying that he's Father Christmas. Like, oh, look, there he goes. That's Father Christmas. And of course he's like, ah, bah humbug, get away from me. And they're just funny. The things that they say, they're like, he's a bandit. Anyways.
Losing. That's Father Christmas.
A pagan Father Christmas.
And he sends his best to you too, Governor.
Yes, sir.
Such Father Christmas.
Christmas, Father Christmas. He's the meanest man in the old wide world. In the old wide world, you can feel it.
He's a miser. He's a skimpy.
He's a stingy lout. He's stocking out for your Christmas gift. Come and steal it. It's a shame. He's a villain. What a guy. For a villain to cry on Christmas
Day. We watched it this afternoon.
Oh, we haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, we
used to watch it every Christmas Eve, but now with the little kids, we watch like Elf or something. So we gotta fit it in the rest of the year.
The Elf is good.
Yeah,
Elf is good.
Have you guys seen that movie? Do you know what she's talking about? The Albert Finney version of Scrooge.
Yeah,
but I've probably only seen it once, and I don't have great memories of it. Not like they're bad memories. I just don't remember it very well.
Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original Star Wars movies, is Jacob Marley.
Uh-huh.
He gives a great performance in it. And there's this line where Scrooge calls him, you are an old potato. And my kids they shush each other. They're right before he says that line. They're like, okay, be quiet. And
comes.
Then they just keep, and they just repeat it over. You are an old potato. So,
great.
Well, I'll have to see if it's on my Netflix.
That movie has shaped our family in
that
other
and
ways.
And Zorro the Gay Blade.
Yeah.
Zorro the Gay Blade.
Zorro. Yeah, Zorro the Gay Blade. We don't need to talk about that one. All right. And then mine is another kind of relatively recent addition. I actually heard it for the first time. I think 2 weeks ago, and this is the third time this song has been mentioned on the podcast. It's Oh Holy Night. This is a version by a group called Sela. I think that's how you pronounce it. I was just listening to Pandora, which I love being back in the U.S. now. I can put on Pandora.com and get introduced to music that I haven't heard before, and so this is a group called Cella. I thought it was Annie Lennox at first, but it's a version of Oh Holy Night that makes some different choices in some of the chords that they use. It's a different arrangement than I've heard before, but I just found it really powerful, and I like the message of Oh Holy Night, that even I think even if you can take the story of Christ's birth as metaphorical, the idea of a God who teaches you to love one another, I think that there's powerful beauty in that message, and so I kind of get emotional every time I hear that, and I think that the song, this version of it, does a really good job of stirring up that emotion in me, at least. So that's why I put that one as number one, because for now, at least this Christmas, it's my favorite.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
So, how about honorable mentions? You had an honorable mention, Zilpha. You had Elvis's Blue Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember because that's my least favorite.
Really?
Well, that and the Baby It's Cold Outside. But, yeah, but I just...
Well, I like Blue Christmas because it's so Elvis. And
it's just, we just named like 15 ways.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
But I think that's the reason why I like it is, when I was a kid, in my family, we did not listen to any rock and roll music. It was all church music. If it was related to rock and roll, it was a church group that sounded slightly rock and rollish. So when I was an adult and I discovered, okay, this Elvis guy that I've heard of all this time, I really hadn't listened to him. I thought he was really interesting. And there's not very many people that sound like Elvis, and it's just so Elvis, that Blue Christmas. So...
You haven't been to Vegas.
I was just saying.
but they're all copying him.
Right, that's right. You're right.
You're right.
He was so original for that time.
He was the king.
How do you feel about the Beatles?
I really like... Actually, when I was about 13 or 14, my friend gave me a tape that had some people... She was trying to introduce me to some classic rock and... So there were some Beatles songs on there that I fell in love with. How can you not like the Beatles?
Well, that's what I feel, but it seems like a lot of people that I've known, they either love the Beatles or they love Elvis, but I don't know too many that love both.
I don't know.
I don't know why, but...
If Tom was on this podcast, he could explain why the Beatles
aren't.
He'd go,
come on.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, guys.
Come on. I wouldn't say I love Elvis. But I appreciate him. I'm glad there was an Elvis.
Nice.
Yeah, I think if I was more like my generation back then, I probably would have been on board with the controversialness. I think I made that word up. But
how many times do you think Elvis's work has been done for him? And do you think he's accepted it?
Oh, that kind of work.
Will Elvis be in the celestial kingdom?
His work done. He's still alive.
Well, hey.
Ooh,
nice. Nice. Good one.
Yeah.
All right. So, Niall, you didn't give an honorable mention, but do you have anything you want to pull out of your hat as an honorable mention? Or at least favorite?
anything by Neil Diamond.
No, no.
Is there Neil Diamond Christmas?
Oh, oh my gosh.
The best traditional Christmas renditions in the known universe.
Are you kidding?
Neil Diamond.
Oh, they're bad.
Do you like Elvis and the Beatles?
Well, if you're talking Neil Diamond, we're definitely in different circles, brother.
Cozy we are, closer than far. Sounds of forever still around. Lovers in love, just like we were.
I don't know. He hasn't grown on me as much as Elvis has.
Yeah. I mean, to quote Bob Wiley, there's two kinds of people in this world, those who love Neil Diamond and those who don't.
Yeah.
What about Bob? Yeah. All right. Neil Diamond Christmas. What about you, Missy? What was your honorable mention?
My honorable mention was Sleigh Ride by the Carpenters. Okay. I just like that one, too. It's fun and happy and reminds me of growing up and decorating the tree together.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand, just holding your hand. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like birds of a feather would be.
Do you want me to tell my least favorite one?
Yeah.
It's the baby, it's cold outside.
That's your... favorite?
Yes, and here's why. I was trying to explain it to Glenn the other day. How old is this chick supposed to be? Because she's over at this guy's house, but she's worried about going home because her parents are going to be worried and they're going to be waiting up. But then she's smoking and drinking with them and trying to tell him no, and he's not taking no for an answer. It just sounds like a pedophile.
Wow. You're thought about becoming a music critic?
Sure.
All right.
But The Carpenters is another great Christmas CD.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. And, you know, it's hard for me to listen to Carpenters Christmas without thinking about the time that my dad almost chewed my head off for making fun of Karen Carpenter's voice. He just got fed up with me one time, and, yeah, we don't need to go into that. But, yeah, mixed emotions around the Carpenters Christmas. And I, you know, I've got similar mixed emotions around any Beach Boys Christmas songs.
Oh.
Because my uncle and I used to sit in the back of the family bus when we'd go Christmas caroling and would do like
Little Saint Nick.
Yeah, or but they slide to all of their notes.
Oh.
They're like what's a good Beach Boys Christmas song?
All I can.
I'll be home for Christmas. And they all slide. You. Anyway. You just pay attention next Beach Boys. So you won't be able to hear a Beach Boys song the same ever, ever again.
Oh, I just thought of another one to put on your naughty list.
Yeah.
The Chipmunks Christmas.
Yeah. All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin.
Yeah, well, my kids love the Chipmunks. They were the Chipmunks for Halloween, and they love the Chipmunk stuff. So,
yeah, well, yeah. They really are for kids. So,
yeah, I can't put them on the naughty list just yet. Or then there's some great kids Christmas songs, like I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. You know that one?
Yeah, that's great.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a dog. Toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy.
Who came on the radio and my son started singing along with it and we're like, what the?
How does he know that?
He learned it in school, cool. But he hadn't told us until it came on the radio and I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yeah. You gotta say, only a hippopotamus will do.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice job.
I'll any Christmas song that's sung by little kids.
Oh, yeah. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
like you.
It depends on how they do that, but but generally, you know, little kids can't do anything that's not cute.
Yeah, that's it's hard for them to not be cute.
Oh, if they're trying to be cute,
that's true. Then that's annoying.
All right. Okay, now we had the idea before to end this with a Mormon expression, Christmas carol. Do we want to still try that, Zilpha?
Like, we wish you a Merry Christmas?
Yeah, or something.
No, do we have to?
No one's going to force anything.
Oh, good.
I don't know. I'm not going to. You're in charge of this, Glenn.
Yeah, okay, so I'm asking the question, do you want to do it or not?
So you're going to sing?
Niall's saying maybe.
No means no, Glenn.
Okay, all right.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's a yes from Melissa.
What do you want to sing?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We could do that?
All right, that's easy.
All right.
All right, I'll do it too.
Okay. We wish
you a Merry
Christmas.
Is that too low?
Wait. Are you ready to sing it?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
That's high.
Yeah, okay.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Okay. Somebody needs to, like, count us in or something.
Yeah.
In a 5, 4... Three.
We.
You were doing like a silent Wayne's World countdown. You can't do that.
I did it with my hands. Like, yeah.
I can't see you.
Yeah, that only works on the screen.
Oh, please.
Go ahead and count us in, Missy, but do it for real. Give us a good pitch.
I'm laughing too hard.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. This isn't going to work.
It won't work because our timing is weird.
Yeah, the timing's weird.
You can't do it.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, because I can't. I keep hearing this delay in my
ear. Yeah, because it sounds like you guys are singing after us, but
yeah.
Weird.
Well, that's a shame.
We tried.
All right. Well, any final thoughts on...
together like I talked about. Maybe next year.
So let's just wrap it up. Any final Christmas wishes? Zilpha Larson, wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Please.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Maya.
Go Yule and have a happy Festivus.
Festivus. Oh, fantastic. Melissa.
God bless us, everyone.
Nice. And Merry Christmas to everyone. And, of course, as always, the discussion continues over on the website, mormonexpression.com, and on the blogs. And thanks for joining us. Hope it turns out all right. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Meili kaliki maka.
Feliz Navidad. Don't forget that.